Hey, Love Church fam, this is Pastor Caleb. Before we get into this week's message, I just want to say this. God loves you so much, and so do we. And we are believing that God's best is ahead of you as you lean into God's word today. We all, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We are going to stay in this season that we just entered into, and from protecting the promise to moving forward. Everybody say moving forward. Moving forward. Come on, it's a good thing to move forward. Last week we talked about how moving forward does not include looking back. Amen? Amen. Moving forward is all about focusing forward, about believing God for the next thing that he wants to do in your life. We talked about how last week how even our past failures, it's easy to think about that, right? Past failures, we want to forget about all that. But even our past successes, right? Our past successes, we want to forget all that. We want to say, God, do a new thing. Y'all say that with me. Say, God, do a new thing. Do a new thing. Say, do a new thing in your church. Say, do a new thing in my family. Do a new thing in my life. Do a new thing in the way that I understand you, the way that I believe, the way that I lift my faith and believe for audacious things in this season. Amen? Amen. Do a new thing. Come on, say one more time. Say, do a new thing. Do a new thing. One of my favorite lines from that very first song that we were singing this morning is that he makes all things new. Amen. He makes all things new. I love that. Every time I sing it, it just fires me up. Literally, it fires me up. I start sweating even more. Do a new thing. It's all about the new thing God wants to do. Because here's the thing about the past. It's easy to dwell on it because there's something certain about it. Right, we've walked through the past, and so there are things about the past that we fully know. Like we know that the dumb things we did added up to dumb consequences, right? And we know that the great things that we did through the grace of God added up to good things. We saw the beginning of it, we lived through it, and we saw the result of it. But there's something about moving forward where your eyes can't quite yet see. And that's the challenging of forward motion. That's the challenging piece. It's that you know God has beautiful things ahead of you by faith, but then there's something in your heart that's got to begin walking towards those things, even though you can't yet see. We're in a season like that as a church, where we are beginning to walk towards things that we're believing God for. We're beginning to train up a church, train up a body, train up a group of warriors, right? Priests, teachers, leaders in the kingdom of God, a holy priesthood, as the Bible calls it, to go out into the community and raise up another generation of soldiers for Christ, disciples for Jesus Christ. Amen? We're in training ground right now to do that in the next season. Very soon, just in the coming month or so, we're going to really embark on doing that. May 31st, you guys put it on your calendar, is the very first night we're going to do that. And y'all, we're going to put the pedal to the metal, and we're not looking back. Amen? We'll keep the foot on the gas. Who's with me? Amen. Online, who's with me? Hey. Y'all are in person. You're not online. That's okay. The ones that are online are like typing so fast. They're like, we're with you, Pastor. No, but we're going to put our foot on the gas, and we're not looking back. We're going to move forward. We're going to go. We're going to run. Are you guys ready to run? Come on, training is to get you in shape for the running that is to come. Because when we start running, here's the thing, church, we don't want to tire out and quit one lap in. This is what training's for. This is what for those that have been here the entire time, this is what the last few years has been for. It's been training ground for what is to come. It's been preparation to get your wind up, to get your faith up. Listen, God gave us a secure place of trial and error, of grace and failure, so that we could learn and so that we could get up and stand strong. And when we start running as a church toward the things that God's called us to, we're going to be ready, we're going to be strengthened, and we're not going to fail like we failed in the last season. Amen? I thank God for his grace. I thank God that he saw it fitting to give us an underground season. Just like any good seed that's planted, there's an underground season where you don't see what's going on, but there's a lot happening. Amen? That's where we've been as a church. I want you guys to look around this morning because the church isn't going to have this many people for too much longer. But I want you to look around and get to know your brothers and sisters who are in the fight with you. Because you guys are the faithful ones, the consistent ones, the ones that have been here, the ones that have been faithful and pushing on and pressing on and believing. And we're about to see God add to our numbers as we stay faithful and stay consistent. But in the days ahead, guess what you guys get to do? You guys get to work. You get to serve. You get to love on the ones that are coming after us. Amen? Amen, because there's thousands of people outside of this church building this morning that don't know the love of God, and we're going to go out there and show it to them in a very real way. Amen? That's what we're doing as a church. We're running forward. Everybody say, I'm ready to run. I'm ready to run. Moving forward. Moving forward. Last week, we talked about moving forward, being forward-focused, understanding that the windshield is way bigger than the rearview mirror on purpose, right? We want to move forward in the things God has for us. Learning from our past, but not living in our past. Somebody say amen. Amen. And this week, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, continuing this season of moving forward. And I want to read this entire chapter to you. It is so powerful. And I want to highlight just a few things from each passage that's shared. Jesus begins giving a few parables. This is how he liked to teach the people that were listening to him back in his day. And the first one is the parable of the 10 virgins. You guys may have read this, or you may have just skimmed over it and been like, okay, what are they talking about? Lamp and oil, and this is kind of weird. But we're going to read it together this morning, and I'm going to kind of extrapolate a couple things from it for us as a church. Verse 1, chapter 25 says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Anytime the Bible says the kingdom of heaven will be like, we should take notice. Amen. Anytime you read that in Scripture, this should like go, okay. Why? Because we're part of the kingdom of heaven. We're called to be priests and leaders in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, for those who are in Christ Jesus, that's our calling, right? It's a high calling. And so we've got to take notice to these kind of statements in Scripture. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," the wise ones replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." I can just hear the ones that were wise and brought extra oil in their jars be like, "Nah, man, no way." You guys hear that in the text? You're like, "No way, not happening. Listen, I want to make sure that I packed extra so because I wanted to be sure that when the bridegroom came, I would be ready." You guys hear that? Can I feel that in the text? Verse 10, but while they were on their way, speaking of the foolish ones, while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." What was Jesus talking about? He's talking about his return. He's speaking to the church in this parable, and he's talking about his coming back. And what did he say? Y'all, this wasn't referencing the world. This was referencing the church. 10 virgins, synonymous of the church. We're called the bride of Christ. This is synonymous with that. And it's referencing this time where Jesus would return for his church. It says he's looking for a church without spot or wrinkle, right? He's coming back for a bride, a virgin bride who is ready. And so what I see in this text, y'all, is that there are some believers that are living ready, and there are some believers that are not. And what is alarming to me is at the end of this text, it says the door was shut and the 5 foolish ones were not let in. Let that sink into your heart with the weight that it was said by the words of our Savior. Think about that. Y'all, this is why our focus is shifting so heavily to reaching our community. Because it's not enough that there's a few ready here in this building each week. We got to get our community ready for the bridegroom that is coming. What did you guys see in this text? It says that they all got drowsy and they fell asleep because it was a long time coming. Isn't it hard to wait for something when you don't know when it's going to arrive? How many of y'all ever put in an order for a FedEx package? You ordered something on Amazon Prime, 2-day shipping. And you're like sitting there and you're waiting and you're checking your phone. You're like watching the driver as he goes down your street. Anybody? Okay, I do that. Sorry. But you're like watching, and it's easy to have expectancy when you're watching that type of a detailed progress note, huh? But what about the package that you put in the order, you spent your good money, your good earned money, the money that God provided for you, it's really all his anyway. You spent it on something, and you're sitting there waiting, and you have no tracking slip. You have no clue when it's coming. You have no clue when it's going to be there. Not the day, not the hour, none of that. And isn't it easy, when that's the case, to just kind of forget about it? Anybody? You just kind of forget about it, put it on the back burner, and then one day it shows up and it's like, oh, here's my package, cool. This is kind of what Jesus is saying in this text. And if you notice, they got drowsy, they got sleepy, they really got lazy in the waiting because they didn't know the time or the hour. But I love what it says about the ones who were wise. They prepared. What I believe they prepared is their hearts. I love that it talks about a lamp and a fire because we're called to be the light of Christ. We're called to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We're called to let our light so shine among men that they can see the good works of our lives and glorify the Father who's in heaven. That's our calling, church. That's the high calling of being a believer in Christ. And we've got to live ready with a fire in our soul and some extra oil for the fire so it doesn't go out. Are y'all living with extra oil in your day-to-day? Or are you like burning on fumes by the time you get back here Sunday? I don't know. Like, are you deep in the prayer place in your private life? I mean, are you stirring up the gifts of God every day, all day long? Regardless of your environment, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of all, are you staying ready? Are you keeping your fire lit? And did you bring extra oil? You know, the oil, it symbolizes in Scripture several things, but one of them is the anointing of God. It also is a consecrating thing. So when I think about them bringing extra oil, I think about the fire of God, the anointing of God, the passion of Almighty God that flows within us. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. But then I also think about the fact that I am consecrating myself in readiness and preparedness for the one who is to come. Kind of like John the Baptist cried out in the wilderness. He said, make way for the Messiah. There's one coming after me that is even greater than I, whose sandals I'm unworthy to tie. Prepare the way. Are we preparing the way, church? We got to prepare the way. Let's keep reading. We got to be ready. Everybody say, I want to be ready. I want to live ready. Say it again. You go to verse 14. Let's read about the parable of the bags of gold or the talents. Verse 14, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey. Speaking of the kingdom of heaven, like I said earlier, let's take notice. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth. Whose wealth? His wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. To another, 1 bag. Each one according to his ability. Interesting. I want to pause there just a second. Because I want to speak straight to your heart this morning and let you know that what you have is from the Lord. It is not yours, it is his. Okay, every resource, every talent, every treasure, every ability. And he has apportioned to you by his grace what he has allotted for you to carry. The important thing about this is that you focus inwardly on that and you find security in your Father's hands related to the things that he's given you and the way that he has apportioned things to you. It's not for us to be like the one sitting next to us or to be like the one we saw on TV or to be like the one down the road, or to be like this person or that person. It is for us to focus and say, God, what have you placed in my hands? And as I examine this, I find full faith in the fact that I trust you, and you've given me what I need. So now I'm going to take this, and I'm going to use it for your glory. Let's go on and keep reading. It says, then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. Come on, he doubled the money. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. He also doubled the money. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought forth the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5, and see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Now I will put you in charge over many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, and see, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Now I will put you in charge over many things. Come share in the master's happiness. Notice this, church. One guy brought back 5 bags. One guy brought back 2 bags. Both of them directly proportionate to what was given to them and the ability that the master knew that they had. The guy that brought 5 bags was no more celebrated than the one that brought the 2 bags. Why? Because it was based on grace, it was based on ability, it was based on what the Father had given them, what the master had entrusted to them. I'm here to tell somebody this morning, you should be encouraged in the fact that what you have is all you need. What God has given you is more than enough. Multiply it. Amen? Multiply it. Don't worry about the guy who's able to multiply it and bring 5 more than you're able to bring. Just go multiply what God's put in your hands. Amen? Look at the one next to you. Just tell him, say, multiply it. Multiply it. We are called to be producers in the kingdom of God. That's the second part of this. We've got to be ready. We've got to live ready. We've got to keep our fire lit, and we've got to bring enough oil to keep it burning bright. But we've also got to be producers and a multiplying factor in the kingdom of God. Amen? We've got to multiply. We have to have a passion for multiplication. Look at verse 24. It says, then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I knew you to be a hard man, so I was afraid. I was afraid. Out of this fear, he says, I went and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and where I have not gathered seed or scattered seed. Then you should have also known to put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and out of that they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa. Some strong words, huh? What was Jesus saying? Number one, we got to multiply. Number one, we've got to be committed to being producers in the kingdom of God. But number two, I found it very interesting that this gentleman was called wicked and lazy, when in fact he put forth great effort to hide the money and make sure that nothing was lost. He didn't bring back less than he was given, but he didn't multiply. And because he didn't multiply, Jesus says that he was wicked and lazy. But you know why else he was called this? Because he had a wrong perspective of God. Think about this. How many people have you seen, believers, and don't think about this in a judgmental way, but just think about how the enemy's been working in the church for so long to cause us to be afraid of God. Now, I'm not talking about living in a holy reverence to God. We should absolutely have that. We should have a fear of the Lord in that way. But when we are afraid of God, and we don't have an understanding of the character and the nature of God and the love of God and the grace that He offers, it was because God loved us that He sent His one and only Son, by the way. When we don't have perspective of this, what it does is it cripples us, and it causes us to go hide the gift and the talents God's given us. If I'm afraid of God, then I would never stand up here and begin to try to sing or play this keyboard to a holy God, because I'm an unworthy vessel, I'm an unholy being, and everything I produce is going to be less than what God Almighty deserves. But because of God's grace, He said, I don't care about any of that. Caleb, go play those keyboards. Go sing that song. As broken as it might come out, it's still music to my ears and a sweet fragrance to my heart as you play before me. Because of my grace. Not because of us. Not because of our works. Listen, y'all, we've got to get rid of this fear. If you have fear crippling your heart that's limiting you from being able to walk forward in faith in the calling God's placed on your life, just get over the fear. Realize that, you know what, child of God, you're going to fall. You're going to bump your butt on the ground sometimes while you're trying to step forward. But get back up in the grace of God and keep going. You're going to learn, you're going to grow, you're going to be stretched, and God will redeem you glory by glory through the process. Amen? Amen. It's powerful for us to see the nature and character of God this way. We should not be afraid. We should have an absolute holy reverence of God, but we should not come to Him afraid. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. So take the leap of faith. Become a multiplier in the kingdom of God. Live to produce for the kingdom of God. And lastly, let's read in verse 31. We're going to finish this out and check out Colossians 3 right after that. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the peoples one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or you needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in person and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or a stranger needing clothes or a sick person or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you also did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous will inherit eternal life. Strong language this morning, huh? This passage is really heavy in some ways, but it's also extremely beautiful for those that are willing to devote their life to it. Amen. It's really beautiful for the ones that have prepared their lamps and taken the jars of extra oil. It's really beautiful for the one who has lived to be a producer and multiplier in the kingdom of God. It's really beautiful for the one who took notice of the least of these and reached out to them. And so, in a byproduct kind of way, fed and clothed Jesus Himself. I love what Jeff and Belinda said about this just last week. They weren't able to be here with us this morning, but last week they were sharing some vision around the homeless ministry and the outreach on Sunday where we go out and reach the homeless and those in need and the marginalized in the community. And they shared that the heart of everything they do is really with that motive, that they want to feed Jesus. They want to clothe Jesus. They want to serve him in that way. And then we look at Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. You guys turn in your Bibles if you would. Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Because this is the essence of all that God has called us to in this next season. I want to read it together. I'm reading out of the NIV version. It says this. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Y'all stand to your feet if you would. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that we are serving with our whole lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, Brother Rick, you can kill the lights for me. And Pastor Nick, if you put some music on, that'd be awesome. I just want to set a tone right now for us to do some introspection of our lives, for the Holy Spirit to do some heart surgery where needed, maybe some encouragement where needed. Because here's the truth of it, church. If you do all these things for man, you'll get really tired. If you do it for an image, you'll get really tired. If you do it for building of self-worth or feeling important or things like that, you'll get really, really tired. You will feel exhausted at times. And I'm not saying that serving God is easy. I'm not saying that it doesn't require effort. It requires great effort and great intentionality and great devotion. But when you do it for the Lord, purely for the Lord and nothing else, no other motive, that's where consistency and faithfulness comes from. That's why I'm able to be so consistent and faithful to the house of God week in and week out. I love you guys so much, but I don't do this for you. I pray that it blesses you. I pray that something in my life encourages you. I pray that somehow, some way, the songs that I sing or the word that I teach or whatever it is, I pray that it speaks to your life and blesses you and God uses it. But they're all just tools in his hands. It's all just a picture of me using the gifts and talents and abilities in my life to be a multiplying factor for the kingdom. And I hope that the way you serve God is the same. Because if you're doing it for me or, you know, Brother Jason, if you're playing those guitar solos because I asked you to, I mean, you're going to get tired of playing them at some point. But if you're doing it as unto the Lord, you'll sit there in a basement in a dark corner and you'll just play. And it'll become more and more beautiful the more you do it. Brother Rick, if you're running that soundboard week in and week out because I asked you to, then you get tired of doing it at some point. But if you do it as unto the Lord, there will be a greater strength and a greater reward that's coming. And whatever it is, I know I just highlighted two things. I know we have so many people serving right now across the church in kids ministry. Several were here early to pray and prepare the house of God. Thank you all so much. But you know, really, while I say thank you and while I appreciate it, I know it's not for me. I know it's as unto the Lord. I know it's for the Lord. I know it's for Jesus Christ. When we do these things, when we serve the least of these, when we go out into the community on May 31st and we set up and we prepare a stage in the amphitheater of Warriors Park and we prepare to lift the praises of God so that people might join us in the community and people might see us walking by on the street and listen to the sound lifted up and maybe see something different about a church proclaiming the love of God the way we do. I pray that it blesses them. But all of these things are done for Jesus Christ and Him alone. All of these things are done so that the glory of God might be lifted up. All of the ways that we praise, the ways we worship, the ways we serve, the ways we give. Listen, for those that are faithful in your finances to the house of God, thank you, but I hope it's not for me or for a church or for an organization. I hope it's as unto the Lord. I hope that the deepest cry of your heart is, Jesus, I want you to be first in everything that I do, and so I'm bringing you the first of my talents, the first of my treasures, the first of every gift, every anointing, every breath that you give me, God. I want to give it back to you because you are worthy and you are mighty and you are high and lifted up, and who am I, Lord, to bring you anything less? Church, it's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. Just say that with me. Say, Jesus, this is all for you. It's all for you. Would you just spend the next couple minutes praying and making that the declaration of your heart? That in everything I do, Lord, whether it's me serving my family at home, me loving my wife, me serving my kids or teaching my kids the things of God, me building the business you've called me to build, me serving the community you've called me to serve, me giving to the church you've called me to build, Lord, whatever it is all for you and for your glory. Would you take it and use it? In Jesus' mighty name. Y'all spend a few minutes and confess that to the Lord in your own way. That's going to be our time of response this morning. That you guys in your own way would make that declaration to the Lord. The altars are open as they always are. If you need to come kneel and pray, feel free to do that. If you'd like one of the leaders to pray with you, we're here for it always. But y'all make that declaration of your heart this morning. That Jesus, this is all for you. It's all for you, Lord. I want to challenge real quick the husbands. If you're a husband in the house, look at me. If you're a man, just look at me because we're leading the community too. But let your wife see in you this week a God first, kingdom first, Jesus first focus. Amen? It's not our wife's job to stir that up in our house. It's ours. And I just feel a strong conviction on that this morning that as a church, and ladies, you certainly have your part to play, for sure. But fellas, this has to start with us. It's men being men, being men of God, saying that I will lead my house to serve the Lord above all else in everything that I do. Amen? I will prioritize the house of God. I will prioritize building the kingdom of God. I will prioritize. I will not get too busy in the work that I do to serve the Lord. I will not get too big. In fact, the work that I do with my hands should be complementary to building the kingdom and should be an asset to the kingdom of God. If it's not, do something else. Amen? Listen, if you're spending your time 40, 50, 60 hours a week doing something that is not building the kingdom of God, my goodness, you're wasting over half your life. Amen. I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to leave on that note, but I just really felt stirred in my heart to say that to the men, that we've got to step up. We've got to lead this. When people look at us, they should see Jesus first in everything we do. Single men, almost married men, when you start dating someone, when God brings that special someone into your life, make that statement with your whole life to them. That, hey, sweetheart, I love you, and I'm going to honor you, and I'm going to serve you. But first and foremost, my life is for Jesus Christ. And if you want to serve Him with me, praise God, let's do it together. But I can't serve you over Christ. Amen? Amen. It works hand in hand. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for the challenge to our hearts. Thank you, God, for the way that you are stirring this beautiful church that you, God, are the builder of. I thank you for each beautiful soul that you've built in, for each one that you're bringing, God, for the names and faces we've yet to meet that are coming. I pray a blessing over them and their families. I pray a blessing over each one that's devoted their life to serve and build your kingdom. Lord, would you bless them back this week? Would you give them strength as they serve? God, like Isaiah 40:31 says, may we run and not grow weary, God. May we walk and not faint. God, let us run and soar with wings as eagles this week for the things of God. Lord, let us be most passionate about building your kingdom this week over anything else. Lord, let us not become consumed with provision or money or running after anything else, but God, let us run after you, Jesus, with all of our hearts. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you need anything at all, we're here to serve you. Please reach out. We love you guys so much. God bless.